Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Seventh batter of the inning. Bradley Jr., a high fly ball to right. Reddick is at the wall. Can only watch. A grand slam. Jackie Bradley Jr. A knockout punch here in the eighth. 8-2 Boston. Seven RBIs for JBJ in the last two games. Look at that Red Sox dugout.
Jackie Bradley Jr. with a big piece of insurance last night for the Red Sox in their win in Game 3 of the ALCS. We welcome in from Houston, on the line, Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe. Dan?
What's going on, Beetle?
Hi, Dan.
You called that a statement win last night. Why is that a statement win for the Red Sox?
Well, I think, you know, going on the road like they did against the Yanks, I give them credit for that. You know, 1-1 series in both cases. They go on the road and they kind of spank the other team and take the wind out of their sails a little bit. So, this is the kind of thing that I needed them to demonstrate they could do, and they're doing it, and you can't take away from that. Doesn't mean the series is over, but I can tell you the folks in Houston did not expect to get beat 8-2 yesterday in that game, and it just made things real quiet here, and you got them on the run a little bit. I mean, Porcello's on a pretty good roll. Charlie Morton hasn't pitched much. They don't panic here, but all of a sudden the momentum has shifted. They got home field back. They got a chance to get another one here in the next 2 days and then come back to Fenway and put themselves in a World Series with one win over the weekend.
And you could be really in trouble from Houston's perspective if the popular guys wake up, meaning guys like Betts, J.D. Martinez. And I said this to Beadle and the guys this morning. You know who's carrying this team this entire postseason are the – regular average Joe Schmo players, the Pierce, the Holt, Jackie Bradley. How about the bullpen that we were concerned with? Like guys like Joe Kelly coming in pitching his ass off.
Since they really imploded in the first game or the second game against the Yanks, we've been mocking them, losing that big lead in game one. They've really pitched pretty well to a man, and except for Kimbrel, who we haven't seen, you know, really in a high leverage situation because they've had the big leads. But I'm curious where this goes from here, but Zoe's right. I mean, you know, Holt gets the cycle. Bradley knocks in seven runs from the ninth spot in
Schmucks.
Two games.
Schmucks.
Yeah. I mean, you've gotten nothing from JD Martinez since the big homer right out of the jump. But, I think that if those guys get going, it would really put the pressure on the Stros.
Dan, are we at the point with this team that no matter how this ends for them, whether it be in this series, the World Series, that they've done something here in the playoffs that we didn't maybe think they could do, or they've proven something in these playoffs that, you know, they were no fluke, that the 108 wins were legit, that they can beat good pitching, they can beat competition, all that stuff?
Yeah, I think, I'm there on that, you know. I mean, they've won five games, lost only two, and they've won three road games by a tremendous that 16-1 skewers the number a little bit, but 8-2 yesterday is pretty darn good too. And so, they've stood up, and like we said, haven't even gotten Primo's stuff out of their top guns. We have no idea what they're going to get out of Sale tomorrow because he was in a hospital 2 days ago or yesterday. And but I think the matchup tonight with Porcello and Morton, you can't say it's horrible for Boston, and the momentum's with them. See if anything carries over. But, I think the Stros are a little bit surprised to find themselves in this position because, they just steamrolled Cleveland and then, came in and win the first game of this series. They're thinking they're just going to, blast their way to the World Series.
I want to go back to the sell stuff. I thought it was outstanding questioning by your guy, Peter Abraham, sort of being on, okay, is this a baseball-related thing, meaning that something he's taken? And based off what Pedro Martinez tweeted out about the medicine kicking in about a week and a half ago, what are you hearing? Do you hear anything more on this cell situation?
Well, Zoe, you probably know more about this stuff than we do. I mean, if they're shooting up his shoulder repeatedly, I mean, do you get a stomach thing? And it's his weight. The guy doesn't have a lot of body fat.
No, Dan, it's all oral. It's got to be like Naprosyn, any of those anti-inflammatories. And he doesn't seem like a guy that eats a ton.
Or Toradol. Don't leave that out because, we went through this with Clay Buchholz in 2012.
Yep. I mean, it was that's a pretty alarming hospital visit where you go in, you know, during the afternoon and you're there overnight. You don't fly to Houston with your team. You come in, you know, 2 days later. I mean, it's just a little bit of a strange thing.
Yeah, it tells me there's more concern there than, you know, I had the flu last year. I was in bed for 5 days, never went to the hospital.
Dan, did you see him there yesterday?
He was there. We saw him come out for the lineups for the introductions. And then they said he was going to throw a side session.
And he never did.
We never saw that. We never saw that. So I don't know whether they're doing that quietly this morning over there or how they're handling that, because he's supposed to start tomorrow. And that may not happen. I mean, you could have Eduardo Rodriguez getting the ball tomorrow, or, you know, who knows what they could do. But I don't know if they know.
Well, some of that could depend on what happens tonight as well.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah,
that might factor into it, depending on where his health is at, what percentage of his normal self he is.
Hey, Dan, I saw your tweet last night when that fly ball happened, and you said you were in a press box, and you guys said you could hear it hitting the wall.
Yeah, it hit the wall. I believe that. I mean, there's a million videos on Zapruder films, you know, back and to the left. You see that panel moves, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was his glove.
We heard a bang. And everyone could hear it. And then in the replays, they're inconclusive, but there's a couple where it looks like the panel moves and it just banged the panel and then went into his glove. I have a hard time that you would hear that sound if the ball was in the glove and then the glove hit the panel. It looked like it hit the panel first.
Don't you think the player reaction would be different with people on base? I mean, I knew it got deflected. I'm going to hurry up and throw this ball back in, you know?
No, that was a two out ball, right? I mean, that was a two out ball. So that was the end of the inning.
What I'm saying is, if he was unsure if they were going to call it an out or not, he gets up throwing to make sure that in case it wasn't.
You're
definitely to hit the wall from the press box. This kid's right there under it. He would know it hit the wall. You know,
veteran guy. I think he just sold it. He said, "I got this thing. I'm coming in." You know, I don't know. I mean, someday when he's an old guy, Kemp will tell us what happened there, because I believe it hit the wall.
All right, let's talk about what this cheating scandal is with Houston. Do you find this to be a little bit more brazen than most of the cheating that goes on in baseball?
Well, I texted Tito, and he's. I'm like, are people, did you guys think this and when they were playing you? And he said everybody does. And I don't know whether he meant everybody thinks this or everybody does it. So I didn't go back to him on that, but they were reported when the Cleveland series in game three in Cleveland. And I think the Indians, I think Tito told the Red Sox, look out for this because they're doing it. But the Houston defense is going to be, we're just doing it to make sure you're not cheating. You know, it's like a counter spy mission. So, it's got some obvious overtones to stuff that we're way too familiar with. But, you know, team employee claiming he's where he's not supposed to be, you know, got a camera, what the thing. It was just goofy. And it's a cover up in Houston here. There's not a word about it in the Houston papers. And they got deadlines way better than ours because it's an hour earlier here and all that stuff. And, you know, Alex Speer got on it for us. I know that Jeff Passan did some reporting on it, and the Metro, good for the Metro to get that thing out there. So I think that's not over. And there's going to be a back and forth. And you know what? Cora is really good at stealing signs. And I mean, legally. You know, I mean, just picking up stuff that they're doing. That's one of his calling cards. When he got hired, we talked to the Stros about it last year. Reddick talked about how good he is on the bench. He's renowned for this. And I just think there's a lot. You know, Cora knows a lot about them. And people know about Cora. And I just think that there's, you know, it can get too far and too much in your head. And don't forget the Red Sox, the alleged Apple Watch thing last year. They were fined for that.
Yeah.
Because you can steal signs, you just can't use technology.
Right. There's nothing prohibited about stealing signs, but you can't be doing it with your cell phone or videos or any of that stuff. Some of
the cameras. You could be in the clubhouse and have the batter have an earpiece and say, well, TV's showing curveball. You know? I mean, that's the ultimate where they don't want this to go.
That's good stuff. It's good stuff on Cora there, though. I mean, my whole point, too, is was there institutional knowledge and he knows how it's set up down there. It's the old Eric Mangini. I'm going to set your ass up, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's your next article. There's your next article.
Hey, it's got good layers to it all over the place. You know, I'll be all over it.
And Dan, Bob Nightingale just tweeted a couple of minutes ago, MLB will issue a statement today regarding the Astros steal signing. I think he means sign stealing allegations. but he says no fine or penalty will be issued at this time.
Okay. Well, they're getting off easy then, and the Sox got off easy last year. But don't forget, Houston was involved. They were on the bad end of the hacking scandal where a guy went to prison, one of the Cardinals guys.
Right,
yeah.
And they were on the receiving end of that scandal. Their whole scouting system was hacked.
I got a last question for you here, Dan. Lodge sort of question. You're pretty hot with the Twitter fingers there. You've learned to tweet. Your boy Peter Gammons has had some interesting tweets out over the last week and a half here. Last night it's about hose people. Was he down there? Have you seen Pete? Have you talked to him?
I saw Pete a lot at Fenway over the weekend. I've not seen him in Houston. I saw your Louisiana Purchase tweet, which I thought was pretty funny.
I wrote that myself, actually. Yeah, Hardy's
really
flabbergasted.
Yeah, the question is Peter Gammons lost his marbles? Is basically the question.
Peter has always been very interested in sports, politics, and music, and I think he's combining a lot of his Twitters to that end.
Is he smoking some weed with your Creedence Clearwater Revival people?
Not that I'm aware of.
Hey, Dan, are you staying at that hotel with the Lazy River?
Yeah.
Also,
you got it. I'm looking right at it right now.
Bastard.
There I am.
What's the temperature down there right now?
Oh, it's not good, though. It's like 55, 60.
Oh,
it's overcast, yeah.
Did you eat a Biggio's? Was it good? Not great?
Yeah, it's good every day. It's just consistently good. It's never like Hall of Fame great, but it's consistently really good every day.
All right, Dan. Appreciate it. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, pal.
Talk to you.
All right, that's Dan Shaughnessy from Houston. We'll talk to him again coming up tomorrow. We'll check in after Game 4 is played tonight.
Good stuff from Dan.
Yeah, it is. It's good stuff. But according to Bob Nightingale, there will not be a fine or penalty issued at this point in time for what the Astros have been alleged to have been doing, which is having a guy sitting next to the dugouts of the opposing teams taking pictures and videos with his cell phone. Let's get a check of the action update. Maybe make you some money. Why don't we do that? And we're right back with more on last night's game and more of your calls next.
Now a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Value players have had their way so far in the American League Championship Series, with the underdog winning each of the first three games. With that in mind, Rick Porcello and the Red Sox are +130 tonight, visiting Charlie Morton and the Astros, who are 40-cent favorites to even the series. The total is 8.5, with 15 cents of underjuice. Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers are 70-cent favorites, hosting Wade Miley and Milwaukee. Hockey tonight, the Bruins are a pick'em at Calgary. The under is shaded 20 cents on the 6-goal total. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Michelle, he said, I'm good enough. So he didn't throw a bullpen today. He'll go out there tomorrow, and then we'll go from there.
Well, it's not far down to paradise. At least it's not for me. If the wind is right, you can sail away.
Yeah, rock.
Now you're fine. It's a bit much.
Oh, the candle can do miracles.
Are there any other songs about sailing?
Yes. When he dominates, we play AWOL Nation.
Oh, God.
When he doesn't, we play this.
Sail! Sail!
This is a soft rock sail.
Yep. That's what you do.
It's an off-season song.
When you throw 94 and 93, that's what you get.
And you're topping out at 93 on the gun.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Chris Sale yesterday was going to throw the bullpen and then didn't throw the bullpen. Before the game, Alex Cora made it pretty clear that he was going to get there and was going to go out to the bullpen and throw during the game. And then he didn't, and it was like no big deal. That alarms me. It does. Just nothing went to plan. Nothing has gone to plan with him since he made his start, around in the Yankees series.
When Cora talked, he said, I've not yet spoken with him. He's on his way here, but when he gets here, we're going to talk to him. We're going to talk to medical people. We're going to have a plan ready to go. But I'm telling you this, folks, you're going to see him in the bullpen. But do not get excited. He is not going into the game, right? Not going in the game. So now all of a sudden, since he met with Cora, something wasn't right enough to even throw a bullpen.
I know we just played this. I can't tell you that we were listening all that intently. I've heard it already, though. I heard it last night.
I like that song.
I heard it last night, but here's Cora.
We sell. He said, he's like, I'm good enough. So he didn't throw a bullpen today. He'll go out there tomorrow, and then we'll go from there.
You know what's much more likely what happened last night? Yeah, you know what? I don't feel great. I'm tired. I've been sick. I've been in the hospital.
He's been so good his last two starts.
I'd rather just go back to the hotel room and sleep.
Have you seen his last two starts?
And I don't feel like I need that. And oh, by the way, yeah, I'm dealing with something, and so my arm doesn't feel great either. Like, that's how I envisioned last night went.
Price is out there with a rake. I don't want to go deal with that. One mistake.
What has happened to your top two guys? Like, really? I'm out here.
Is that like a Zen
guy? Why is this a big deal to you guys?
You know what?
Price raking the dirt in the bullpen.
Nice little lines in the dirt. And when I was talking to my therapist, and he had one of those little trays with a little mini rake and the seashells. And
I thought it was a big deal because I thought he was going
to
start warming up after he raked the area.
I was able to draw patterns in the sand.
He didn't.
And Skip told me come out here. And, you know, Dave, instead of tightening up and watching the game, wondering if you're going to go out there and make some patterns out there on the mound.
I can't wait for Murray today. Oh, my God. He better do that at 2:05.
I'm out here raking. $32 million with a big rake. Big rake.
It didn't bug you last night?
Why would it bug me?
Did that bug you?
In fact,
First time I've ever seen a starting pitcher.
I think that
any game I've ever watched do that.
David Price's ability.
Like, I'm worried about the mound now. I'm worried about the rubber.
I don't want to call it ability.
What ability?
But
his paranoia?
Not his ability, but his...
his process.
His personality of being so down to earth is endearing and also a huge turnoff because you wanted to be a little bit more of a jerk and
a-hole. I wanted to be Beckett.
And go out and pitch.
When Beckett was good.
Because, you know, you think of all the really great pitchers you like over the years. Most of them are jerks when they, at least in a baseball sense, right?
18 days off, bro. I do what I want.
Like Pedro Martinez, not a jerk in real life, but a complete a-hole on the mound.
Yep.
And in his work as a pitcher.
In his thought process.
Right.
Chris Sale
has got that thing to him.
Yeah.
Right?
We think, yeah.
Roger Clemens was a complete jerk when he played. In a good way. Some of it drives these guys.
Yep.
And, like, you see Sale, like, no, I'm not too good to rake the mound. I'm out here, you know, enjoying, manicuring the mound for whoever it is that's warming up. Like, you don't look at that and say, he's a pretty good guy.
I'm getting it ready for Brazzers.
But that's not what you're looking for.
He's a thrower.
That's not what you're looking for. You're looking for the guy who's a jerk, who yells at somebody else to go rake the mound. Like, that's what the great ones do.
I sat there and rewound that 10 times. I'm like, what the F is he doing? What is he doing?
I'm going to do it sideways, across the front, get the little divot right in there.
Like, please tell me he's raking and he's going in.
No. Reminds me of, like, going to a Cape League game.
Get it ready
for
the
guys on
Matt
the team
Barnes.
Are raking out the field before the game.
It was like summer
and
catch.
Like, you're looking
summer
at the, catch. The you're looking at them going, oh, like, some of these guys are going to be playing in the major leagues in a couple of years, and here they are raking out the field.
Who's the guy pulling the tarp off before a warm-up? Oh, that's your starting first baseman.
Yeah. He was just drafted in the second round by the Dodgers.
Yeah. He's like Swihart to do that or something, you know? Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the way it goes.
I mean, there's dialed in.
Go rake the mound, workman.
It's a good baseball pun. David Price, raking.
No.
Shut up. You're trying too hard.
I bet you he was thinking that to himself when he's raking.
Raking. You know what's going to happen? They're going to say, you're going to give it up. No,
you'd rather see a guy like dialed in, focused, ready to do some battle, ready to establish the inside part of the plate. Not someone out there raking.
He's not pitching last night, though.
Just doing something.
It's him trying to ingratiate himself with
the
regulars.
Just want somebody. You would rather have.
That's what it is.
See a shot of him sitting there fuming.
Yeah,
he's not in there. That I'm not going tonight. I want to go. I want to go in there and I want to start.
That's why I'm saying there's something that's both likable and hateable about that scene.
There's no middle with this
dude. He's a humble guy. He's willing to, you know, probably think, hey, I'll make myself useful here.
You know what?
And help this out. Make this mound better for any of the guys who might make it into this game tonight. That's like a good quality. Yes. And then there's a quality of, why are you doing this? I need you over there on the edge of your seat, all kinds of pissed off
reason. There's no middle.
What do you think the other bullpen guys are saying when he's doing that?
They're elbowing each other. Pitch. They're elbowing each other. And like when I'm texting you guys, like, look at this clown.
I don't know. I'd be sitting there going, hey, Price, if this is what you're into.
What the hell's he doing?
We can have you out in the bullpen at Fenway on your off
Whatever happened
next
to those
year.
Guys with the
I got some leaves
sticks.
In my yard, Price. You going to come back to my house?
remember Timlin and the drumsticks and those guys like that? Those fun times. Those are good times. I mean, now
hey,
you
Price,
see it,
when,
like,
when you're done over there with the mound, why don't you empty out this trash can right here if you don't mind?
Yeah. Hey, clean those seeds up. You think the guy
I want a top step of the dugout with a big lip in with the little dip cup in front of him.
Like Porcello. Porcello's got the red ass when he gets taken out of games. And he's all sweaty. You know what he's doing? Hanging over the edge right there, watching the rest of the game.
But serious question about this. Was he out in that bullpen last night because he was available?
I don't know. Probably not.
There's no other reason to be out there.
Oh, hang out with my friends. Oh,
yeah, I'm not sure what the scenario would have had to have been, but sure. Yeah.
We stick together like glue.
After having pitched in game two? On Sunday night, he was he available last night?
He's available tonight, Tuesday tell you that. Night,
after starting on Sunday.
Two days later.
Tonight. Is he available on Tuesday?
Is he available tonight for an inning? He gets in trouble. Is he available in the fifth or sixth tonight?
I would think so.
Yep.
I think tonight he probably is.
Tonight like might be a really good spot for him.
617-779-0985. I want to talk more about Steve Pierce and Jackie Bradley Jr.
Serial killer.
Just unsung heroes. From the game last night, and we will do that with your baseball calls coming up next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox are now up 2-1 in the best of seven ALCS against the Astros after their 8-2 win last night in Houston. Tonight, it's game four. Charlie Morton goes for the Astros. Sox answer with Rick Porcello. They've got the late game. First pitch at 8:39. Major League Baseball, according to Bob Nightingale, is going to issue a statement today about the Astros' sign-stealing allegations. He says no fine or penalty will be issued at this time. Dodgers beat the Brewers 2-1 in 13 innings last night. So now the NLCS is tied at two games each. They'll go in the early game tonight, 5:05. Celtics over the Sixers, 105-87. The big starting five out there last night. Kyrie Irving, we're going to see more of that.
I mean, you know, playing with Terry is one of my best, you know, times that I have out there, because I know that, you know, he's going to get the rebound, I'm going to get the rebound, we're going to run our spots, and we're going to get everybody organized. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to the dynamic lineups we have.
Okay, dynamic lineups. Very good. Gordon Hayward was back on the court last night. Next up for the Celtics, they'll visit the Raptors Friday night. Bruins and Flames play tonight in Calgary. Judd Zerot, Bob Beers on the call right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Julie Morales as well. There's a drive into left field. Is that we're going to stay fair? Pierce is watching, and this one is fair and gone. Back on top go the Red Sox. Steve Pierce launches one out of here to make it 3-2 Boston.
Pressure.
Come on, Hardy, do it.
Where's it put the lotion?
First, I want to talk about Steve Pierce. Before we get to Jackie Bradley Jr., Steve Pierce.
Oh, word.
Another guy who makes Dave Dombrowski look good this postseason. He stepped right in.
Yep.
He has been
a serial killer.
Their savior at first base because of Mitch Moreland's injury. I like how Cora's been using Mitch Moreland for the one at bat, even though he's hurt. I do like that. I'm a fan of that. Steve Pierce has been really good. And his stretch at first base is becoming a necessity, because why is it that the team's third baseman, Nooney, can't make a throw to first base? Will someone help me out with this? What is with this bounce in the infield?
Cora said it's his ankle.
He loves
it. Cora said it's his ankle bothering him.
What's it been every other game?
His ankle's been bothering him, I guess. He can't make the full throw. He can't push off fully.
Bregman can make it, and he's falling away. How about his arm sucks? How about that? Yeah,
well, Bregman's a much better player. Comparing the two is a waste of time. Bregman's a great player.
But it's not like he's not stepping into them. Like so he could go and make that type of play. To end the Yankees. To
put someone tell Wallach that Devers got in the game last night, by the way.
How do you tweet that out? Mr. Baseball.
No, but what is with the throws? It's all in the ankle? From Nunez?
He's stepping
according
into it.
According to Cora,
those throws are such garbage.
I mean, he really is not stepping into it. He's kind of throwing off his back foot a little
bit. So then sit him down.
Yeah.
Sit him down. What is he playing for?
Play the kid.
Why is he in there?
Yeah, give him the Moreland treatment. If you want to use him for one at-bat, use him for one at-bat.
What's the point?
Holt over at third.
Yeah, exactly. Put Holt in.
Nunez in his throws have required the Steve Pierce stretch at first, which seems like it's happening five times a game, even if that's not exactly what is happening. It seems like that. He's had a lot of big stretches at first. Steve Pierce, if he wasn't on this team, I think they'd be in trouble right now without a real first baseman, but he is. He can play the position. He does it well. Unsung hero. Guy who's come up out of nowhere. Pierce. And then you get Jackie Bradley Jr. hitting a grand slam last night. That, to me,
I knew it was going, though,
is the start of one of these things where you get the contributions from players you don't expect to get them from.
Schleps.
It's one of those special types of things.
It's where everybody has a hand in it. We're all in. Hashtag all in.
You had the game-winning home run from Pierce. You had the grand slam.
It's Bellhorn. It's J.D. Bradley Drew. It's so Gomes-ish. It's unbelievable. You know? This guy has how many bases did he clear the other night with the double? He's got, what, 7 RBIs in the last 2 games?
Woo! Yeah, he only had 1 hit with the bases loaded all year. He's got 2 in this series.
Yeah.
7 RBIs.
Yeah.
That's where your year's going. That's where you know what
you're there are no sabermetrics that would tell you these things, though, that could predict these things.
Right.
Guys that rise to the occasion. Jackie Bradley Jr. is one of those guys. They just got to figure out how to get a rise out of him the other, 6 months of the season. You just got to figure that out.
Yeah.
But so far,
no, I'm happy with him being a dud all season and then performing in the playoffs. I'm good with that. I can live with that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know that I can.
No?
No.
Give me the everyday player that plays every day like that.
You're saying there is, it suggests that, like, that is always a guaranteed thing.
That's called
that
flaw.
Flaw. You couldn't also find someone who could do both, who could play well in the regular season and the playoffs? Those guys do exist. Jamie's in Everett. Jamie.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say my unsung hero was Brock Holt because it was 2 strikes, 2 outs. He didn't have to say that he got hit by the pitch.
When were we doing the unsung hero thing?
I'm sorry?
When were we doing the unsung hero thing?
I just pulled in and said that they wanted to know about unsung heroes. And I think that was
say that's on me, Jamie. I didn't know that. Okay, so Brock Holt, you man.
Taking one off the foot makes you a hero? Gives a crap.
Barely skimmed him. And how about Darling?
Never once as a Major League Baseball.
What a dumb comment that was.
Really? Oh, I thought they fake it all the time.
Ron Darling has had some issues these last couple
of
years.
He said never in the history of the game has someone claimed to have been hit when they weren't hit. Before replay, that used to happen all the time.
Yeah.
Ooh, got me. Nip me.
And most of the time it would work.
Yep.
And then he had the Price comment the other night. 11 starts. Nobody's ever scored first for him in the first inning. Yeah, you're in the playoffs and starts where both pitchers are pretty freaking good.
I thought last night the one good stat they gave was about Dallas Keuchel in the first inning, his ERA being over 7. Now, that was a worthwhile statistic, and they gave that before the Red Sox put the runs on the board.
Looked like it.
That was worthwhile. Cam is in town. Cam,
what do you got?
How's it going? First of all, Beal, you're welcome for that free pizza I got you yesterday because I'm the one who started that thing with Big Jim.
Oh, the really? Regina thing.
Oh, we're Big Jim crapped all over.
Big Jim's an idiot. You heard it here first.
In the world, right? First of all, you guys said Steve Pierce's defense. I mean, I'm watching this game last night. Like, it's like, who's first base? Who's at first base? Is that Steve Pierce or is that some Olympic gymnast? I mean, the way he's stretching for these. I mean, in that game in New York,
it's good.
He
groin.
Might have saved their season.
It's a good point. He good groin.
He might have saved their good season groin. In that stretch in New York because if that ball was thrown away, the tying run and the winning run come in to score, and then you're demoralized for Game 5. Last night, another big play in the inning. It's just like the third base, such a cluster bleak for this team right now because you're getting horrible defense either way, so at least take the bat and put Devers in there.
That's how I feel, but I also think long-term, this is not something related to this playoff run. The hell are they going to do at third base? What are they going to do there? They don't trust Devers to play the position.
It looks like he's 14.
Where does he fit in? If they're never going to trust the kid to play third, where's he going to fit on this team? What's he going to be?
I don't know.
How do you play him?
He's your first baseman.
I feel so differently about him this year than I do this last year. Remember when he came up and it's just right upon the scene. This kid's
Jim,
unfazed by anything.
Don't say that like first is easy.
Easier than third, though. I don't know how they gave Bregman a hit on that last night.
Oh, that was absurd. Hometown. That's what it is.
And then Hinch postgame is like, well, no, Bregman got the big hit. No, no, he didn't.
Big hit.
No, he had a ground ball.
Clutch.
He had a hard ground ball that the third baseman played poorly. Very poorly.
Yep.
A good third baseman, that's a routine play.
Which one was it? Wallach got me all confused which one it was.
That was Devers at third.
Devers at that.
Yeah, it was Devers. Yeah. Keith is in the truck. Hey, Keith.
Yeah, a couple of points. To continue on about third base, we knew we were in trouble, but we really can see the difference between the two teams as far as third basemen are concerned.
You can see the difference even at short. I mean, would you take defensively Correa or would you take Xander Bogaerts defensively or offensively too?
Good point. And also JBJ, I mean, his grand slam, no bat flip, no rah-rah-rah, just a true professional.
Yeah, he was shocked.
His dad taught him right.
Yep, sure did.
Well, I can tell you that his post-game interview, the way he handled it, was pretty humble.
Yep.
Really was.
Yep, it's classy as the Eck thing. Yep.
But he's got that Eck thing.
Yep.
Still. Correa hit .239 this year.
Ooh.
Worst year of his career, offensively. Yeah, but defensively, you could see it on the left side of the infield.
Right.
The Astros' defense in the infield's very good. 617-779-0985. We will get back at it with more of your thoughts on the Red Sox and their win last night as they look toward Game 4 tonight. Let's talk about Game 4 a little bit right after this.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, Rick, just a thought on, in your mind, what are the biggest things or keys in pitching in this ballpark?
Well, I think it's very similar to Fenway. You know, the more you can keep the ball on the ground, the better off you are. That's easier said than done. You know, with traffic on the bases, you got to work really hard to keep their guys off balance. They do a really nice job of putting pressure on you, and then they have a lot of guys that have power that can run into pitches that you leave in the middle of the zone, especially with runners on base. So be aware of that. Do the best you can to avoid those mistakes, especially with runners on.
Charlie Morton on the mound tonight against Alex Cora's Red Sox. You know, I don't know how much baseball is using matchup numbers anymore. We look at them all the time.
Yep.
We do. We look at them because, you know, 15 years ago, this sort of became the way of doing business in baseball. But I think it's changed. I think the advanced metrics are so much more, well, they're more advanced is what they are. So I don't
think
it's
more metric.
Yeah, they're more metric. I'm not sure the managers, you know, look at this on a nightly basis and say, oh, well, let's look at how my team does against Charlie Morton, because for so much of it, it is a small sample. If you look at the list of the guys on the, you know, the roster of Red Sox who face Charlie Morton, Xander Bogaerts is the guy who has the most at-bats. He's got 14 at-bats against him. That's not a lot. That's not a lot of at-bats. That's not a great sample to really determine anything. But I can tell you, he is batting .500 against Charlie Morton and has an OPS of 1605. That could be helpful,
yep.
Right? But that, you know, that's not a decision. Xander Bogaerts is in the lineup every day. You know who's next? Is Ian Kinsler with 10 at-bats. He's batted .300. He's got double. He's got two singles, two walks. J.D. Martinez in his career, 167 against Charlie Morton. But again, 12 at-bats, that's not a great sample size. And there's,
he's been really hot this series.
Benintendi, Betts, and Moreland have 10 at-bats for Benintendi, 8 for Betts, 9 for Moreland. It's sort of, I don't know, it's sort of hard to tell. For example, Jackie Bradley Jr. He has 1 hit and 9 at-bats. That could be Jackie Bradley Jr. against most of baseball.
Yeah, and 4 strikeouts in those 9 at-bats.
Yes,
yeah.
I don't read anything into that.
And 1 hit could be the grand salami.
Right. But when you get to some of the decision-making, like who's going to play at second base tonight, Brock Holt, or is it going to be, you know, Ian Kinsler? How could you possibly look at these numbers and say, you know, I'm going to base it on the matchup? Brock Holt, 1-for-3 lifetime against Charlie Morton. What's the other decision to make? Devers, 2-for-6. 2-for-6 lifetime. So, where's Nunez? I know he's on here somewhere.
2-for-2.
2-for-2.
He's right below Joe Kelly, who's 2 for 3 against them.
Here's what I'm starting to realize. Don't you think that part of it is that Alex Cora just has a preference for Nunez at third and Kinsler at second?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does it just feel that way?
It's a comfort for him, yes. Yeah. Instead of mixing and match, I'm just going to go with what I feel comfortable with right now.
Especially with the short left field, to have the righty hitters up there.
Yep, they just want to throw waves of righties at you. I don't know. So tonight, we'll see the lineup, and I bet he sticks with what he has.
Yep.
I bet he sticks with Kinsler and sticks with Nunez.
Tape the knee up and tape the ankle up.
Jelly ankle out there.
There's no blood flow in the ankle either.
Andrew in Northbridge has an idea for Devers. What do you want to do with Devers, Andrew?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey.
How do you guys feel about trading Eduardo Rodriguez and Jacob for Rafael Devers for Jacob DeGrom for Mets? It might take a little bit more, but Mets need a new third baseman. Hey, we need Jacob DeGrom.
Why? Yeah. Why would the Mets do that for just Devers?
That's what we.
They get a new guy to play third base for them for 5+ years in Devers, and they get a new starting pitcher in Eduardo Rodriguez.
Okay. All right. Here's a package. Here's a package, Andrew. Thanks for the idea. Would it be Erod and Devers for Jacob DeGrom? Okay, I'm going to say yeah. I'd do that deal. Would anyone else? Would you do it?
Well, yeah, if you put it that way.
I'd do that deal. Sure. Yep, we can do that deal. We can make that happen. Yep.
I love how here in Boston, we want more in the return than what we're willing to give up.
Like Erod's value, by the way. You see him in the ninth inning again last night? Yep. Cora's buried him. That's it. He's buried him. Like, he has no use to him. It's not. I don't think it's a faith thing.
Is it or is it an attitude or it's just it's get your head out of your ass?
You didn't have your head on right in the Yankee series. Why should I put you in another key spot?
Oh yeah, that lollygagging it's over not, the first.
It's not about ability.
No, that's
he was pitching well at the end of the year.
He went to the end of the list and nobody above him's failed to for him to bump up. That's
what's
happened.
Too. That's
exactly
a good
right.
point. Everybody's responded.
Went to the bottom of the list.
All those
no
schmucks
one has done so poorly
killing.
That he's back up.
It. Every schmuck you're killing before the playoffs has responded and pitched well.
Patrick is in the car on Eduardo Except Nunez. Mark. Patrick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Patrick?
Love the Buffalo Bill intro, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Who sings? What band does that? Like, they're forever known for that now. That's the only problem.
Sounds like... That's a good question. Anyways, Nunez, I can't help but remember back to Tavares when he used to roll the ball from the pitcher's mound to first base. I'm wondering if something inside of his head more than just this ankle injury. Your thoughts?
No, because I've seen Nunez make the throw before, so it's not that. It's got to be this stupid ankle thing that he's dealing with.
Lazarus.
Do you remember that? Tavares used to roll the ball?
Yes.
Just to roll the ball. And he was bowling over to first base.
Well, the one time that Nunez really did press and plant on that ankle
was the last play of the Yankee series when he got hurt. I'd like for him to do that again tonight, if he could give it his all.
He dove for one ball. Was it Saturday night? There was a ball hit down the line. It looks like his knee stuck, and I'm like, Jesus.
Look at the way he's moving. You can tell he's hurt.
Oh, he cringes every time he moves. Just his face, like, oh. Like Hardy in his back. The back pills.
Ralph and Cranston on Rafael Devers.
Hey, guys. Hey. You know, when they decided they were going to put Devers at third, I never liked it. I wanted to see them try Devers in the last offseason at first because I knew, you know, I went to Pawtucket every now and then. This guy's really sucks. Not a good third baseman. I don't think he's ever going to be. You know, you had a guy insurance, and 2 years ago he was the insurance at third in Marrero. I would have somehow tried to keep that guy knowing – I mean, everyone knew, you guys knew, too, that this is going to be a problem all year with third base. And now that it's the playoffs, Marrero would have been that guy. And he could have at least put him in late innings. You know, not a big bat, but this kid was a phenomenal shortstop and third baseman. And if I can mention Kyrie for 1 second,
Sure. Guys.
You know, this guy played with LeBron in Cleveland. And that made him anything but a facilitator. I mean, he's not. He's really not a point guard. He didn't do it. He was there for years playing with LeBron and didn't have to handle the ball with the assist in mind. And when he doesn't hit his shots, I got to tell you guys, and if that doesn't become a big percentage this year, I'd just let him walk because he's not extremely effective. And I really have to give Stevens a lot of credit pulling him in the fourth quarter. And I said, this guy's, he's not playing with the team. He's missing his shots. He's useless. And he pulled him for Rozier, which was a really good thing too. So, I mean, he has to step up and hit those shots. I know it's early and I know he didn't play much at the end.
Remember the start he got off to last year? I mean, he sort of had his head up as you know what, last year when he got off to that start, everybody's like, ooh, this doesn't look like Kyrie. And then he just exploded.
Well, Ralph makes, I think, a good point in there, and why don't we pick that up and talk some Celtics, mix that into the conversation. They got a win last night over Philadelphia in their opener. We'll talk about that in 90 seconds.